Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Gateway Rescue Mission, meeting the physical and spiritual needs of the homeless right here in Jackson, Mississippi. Check us out at www.gatewaymission.org.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Thursday edition of the Rebel Report Podcast. My name is Michael Borky. I always appreciate every single one of you for being here. Big weekend in sports. Obviously, huge series upcoming in Oxford with LSU coming to town. Ole Miss bouncing back, going to Gainesville, getting to... I mean, every home series draws good crowds. Every home conference series, when the team is at least halfway decent, does incredible numbers in terms of people and attention and interest. You guys are a baseball fan base. There's no doubt about it. This weekend's going to be spectacular weather-wise. I mean, you really could not beat what you're going to get this weekend in Oxford. 79 cloudy coming up tomorrow. 83 sun completely out on Saturday. 82 little bit of clouds on Sunday. Perfect weather for Ole Miss and LSU. Big series, a series that each team kind of needs. LSU has just lost a metric ton of really, really bad games. Ole Miss only has one of those in Memphis. LSU's RPI is, for them, in the toilet at the moment. And they struggle to pitch the baseball. Ole Miss, as you know, again, they got swept by Mississippi State, turnaround, won the Florida series, have got to find some consistency at the plate. But man, that pitching staff is looking spectacular right now for Ole Miss. They've solidified the rotation, and it'll be a fun, big series. We'll talk about it, of course, on Sunday live together. And if you guys have any thoughts on it, go ahead and send them in, and we'll talk about those, too, if you want. But tonight, I want to start with football, because when in doubt, lead with football, number one. And number two, I asked Hey Dad this question on the radio show today, and I really liked it for Mississippi State, because the question is very simple. What is the most important game above all else on the schedule this year? And we did it for both teams, but for Ole Miss, it's more of an obvious one. For State, there's a lot of directions that you can go. You can go, I mean, in week two, they're at Minnesota. And if you can't win at Minnesota, why do you think, looking at their schedule, which is difficult, they're going to amass enough wins for Jeff Lebby to keep his job, right? So you can go to Minnesota, or you can have your first SEC game at home, which is Missouri. There's a lot of directions that you can go. Hey Dad landed on Minnesota, and also said, you know, 3-1 after four is really what you got to be, because if you lose two of those games, so it's ULM at Minnesota, at South Carolina, Missouri. If you're 2-2, the schedule gets a lot more difficult for State after that. So it was a good conversation. For Ole Miss, obviously, there is one above all, and it is LSU. So what I'm going to do is go to, what is the next one? What is the next most important game on the schedule? Because the LSU game is obvious for a lot of reasons. Lane Kiffin's return, him doing what he did on his way out the door. LSU, just a rival, a big game in and of itself. Two teams that'll be ranked inside the top 15 when the game gets played, assuming LSU does not vomit all over themselves against a much lesser Clemson. And, you know, same can be applied to Ole Miss and Louisville. Ole Miss is a better team than Louisville. Now, Louisville, I think, better than Clemson. But both of these teams should be undefeated going into this game. So you should have two top 15 teams. You should have all of the history that comes with Ole Miss LSU, and then the absolute insanity that comes with Lane Kiffin making his return. I will be honest with you guys, though. I'm already over it. And it's because I'm perpetually online. That's part of my problem, is I spend too much time online. Because if you're not, you don't see any of this crap. But the discourse and the Twitter and the stuff around this game is already so stupid. And the commentary around it is just, it's so dumb. And the commentary, if you will, the discourse around Kiffin leaving, was it got to really stupid levels. And that has not changed in the time after that. And there's a whole lot of revisionist history going on, especially when it comes to guys like Kiwan Lacy. LSU fan in the mentions was like, Kiwan was a lock to LSU if Ole Miss didn't beat Georgia. Like, where is the logic in that? Well, our insider said that. Well, who specifically? Because I would like to talk to them and just kind of like try to pick their brain on, hey, make 1 + 1 = 2 here on that. Every team in the country would have waited for a back like Kiwan Lacy, regardless of whether or not Ole Miss beat Georgia. It doesn't make any sense. He just didn't want to go with Lane Kiffin, and he has an Instagram post today that really shed some light on that decision. But it's already stupid. Kiffin's not helping that. The online discourse is not helping that. But I am already over the discussion around that game. Once the game arrives, it'll of course be, I mean, a week's worth of radio shows that are going to be really highly listened to. If you look at the slate, College Game Day should be there. The atmosphere is going to be nuts, all that. It's going to be a very compelling game, but it's already at stupid levels, and I'm kind of sick of talking about it already. But that is game number one. On top of the fact that it's kind of like a validation moment for Pete Golding having the job that he has as well. So what would be number two? What is the second most important game for Ole Miss in 2026? And there is a lot of directions that you can go with this. You can go with Georgia at home. That could be the game, maybe the make or break game between a team that makes the playoff and a team that does not make the playoff. You could turn around and say at Oklahoma a week later is a game that they have to win if they're going to get there. So you can go in those kind of directions if you'd like. I mean, there's a lot of important games on this one. At Florida in week four is a sneaky one considering its spot on the schedule. So there's a lot of directions that you can go. I want to hear what you guys have to say in the comments and kind of tell me where you're thinking and what you're thinking on that. But I will give you mine after I tell you about a new partner that I have here on the podcast, Scruggs in Saltillo. Also, if you type in Scruggs Tupelo, it'll take you to the same place. We were just there for the radio show on Wednesday. We were just there yesterday. And when I tell you guys that this place is unbelievable, I truly mean when you walk around in Scruggs, it's hard to believe that they have all of the things that they have under one roof. I mean, I almost came home with a box of Chicks, not the candy. Not the marshmallow candy. I'm talking about they had little baby chickens and baby ducks, and they had a starter kit for you if you want to raise them. I almost came home with them, but I mean, it's everything lawn, garden, farm related, but also like their boot selection is outstanding. Their clothes in their fishing area was great. By the way, the cheapest beer in North Mississippi is there, maybe the entire state. But most importantly, they have your lawn farm equipment. Whether you're a pro or just a weekend guy like me, they've got deals moving this spring. 0% for 36 months on all commercial mowers. 0%. If you need a commercial mower, 0% for 36 months. Or you can get 1.9% on any John Deere Gator. So if you want a Gator, 1.9% is just an interest rate that you can't get at a bank or through a credit card for sure for 36 months. Any of the big stuff for the heavy lifting, 0% for 72 months on compact tractors and select 5-series tractors. All of it's John Deere. Offers valid through the end of the month. So you have to get there now. Go to 3575 Tom Watson Drive. I don't think the golfer Tom Watson. I've got Masters on the brain, but Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo, Mississippi at Scruggs. They have what you want for less. It's a short drive from Oxford. They told me yesterday that they do get a lot of people actually from Oxford because you just don't have a store like that in that area. You don't have a store like that in this area where I sit right now. So if you are in the north half of Mississippi and you're in the market for a lawnmower, a tractor, or you just want the best lawn and garden store in the state, and also to get some boots and a t-shirt and a hat and some fishing gear and a refrigerator and a washer and dryer, and I mean, it's a great place. Go check them out at Scruggs, and when you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right, my pick You guys might roll your eyes at this. I think there's a lot of directions you can go. Like I said, the Mississippi State game, I think, might be the second most important game on the schedule this year for two reasons. Because there is a very high likelihood that you are playing that game. I think there's a high likelihood that you are playing that game with playoff implications. Even if you have three losses going into that game, an SEC team at 9-3 will have a puncher's chance to make the playoff. Those extra conference losses are going to kill Greg Sankey, but I still think you have a puncher's chance, especially knowing what you have in the room now. Gus Malzahn's in the room now, for example, on the selection committee. So I think that might help. But a 9-3 team will have a puncher's chance. So it'll be a playoff-implicated Egg Bowl. But more importantly, I think there is a real chance that when you get to that game, there is a knockout punch that you can deliver to your in-state rival. Now, Kamario Taylor is really talented. You guys saw it in the Egg Bowl. I think Zach Arnett's going to improve that defense. There is some things to like about this Mississippi State team, but the schedule is brutal, and the vibes around there are not particularly high when it comes to football. They're going to have a hard time selling tickets. The crowd for the season opener is not going to it'll tell you a lot about just kind of like the general vibe around the program right now. Jeff Lebby needs to win more than he loses or else he's losing his job. And I mean, you even have people talking about, you know, what would it take to get Dan Mullen to come back? The vibes are not very good right now. And you've already amassed a staff that has in-state recruiting chops. And in this era in particular, I mean, you've won 4 of 5. That would be, what, 5 of 6 Egg Bowls. There is an opportunity for you to take your home state and just put a stranglehold on it. And so playoff implications and then also becoming the brand in your state. Mississippi State's never going away. Like, you're always going to have that element of players that are just going to go to state because there's players on their roster right now that would not have gone anywhere else regardless. But you've got an opportunity to land a knockout blow if things go as the odds makers think that they will go this season. So that would be 6 of 7 Egg Bowls. Thank you for that correction there. You can land a knockout blow by season's end. And I think there's immense value in that on top of the playoff implications. And there's a lot of talent in this state, in this class, and next year's class. And again, you're building a staff that can recruit in state. So I think that might be number two. I think so. Logan Smith Shelter Insurance has got you covered anywhere in Mississippi for auto, home, life, or business. Again, anywhere in Mississippi, even if you have auto, home, life, or insurance for your business, he can do a lot of customization for you, number one. And number two, it's worth a phone call. It's a 5-minute phone call. Get a quote. You're going to love what you hear from Logan Smith and his team at Shelter Insurance. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. Give Logan Smith the call for auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. And do not forget to tell him that it was me that sent you. All right, to the comments we go. No shame rocking your burnt orange pimento cheese hat. Well, first of all, you're trying to troll me. I'm not going to give in. It's not a pimento cheese hat. It's pimento. And I know you're trolling because you... And then the next comment, I'm going to need you to hijack this whole podcast ranting about the dumb crap going on at the Masters, the barstoolification of sports. I am... It sounds dumb to complain about. Like, I'm aware of how dumb I feel when I talk this way. But I am so disappointed in Augusta National this week. I really am. There's a lot of evolution in sports and institutions and stuff like that. But there are very few things. Frankly, there's nothing in sports like the Masters, and there's no place in sports like Augusta National. And I'm not being hyperbolic when I say that. There's nothing like it. And what makes it so special is how, frankly, pretentious and strict they are when it comes to tradition. They have their ways, and they have not wavered from their ways. And the beauty of it is any Joe Blow can access it. You might be thinking, oh, the Masters, only rich people can go. No, that's not true. They have a true, real lottery system. Good friend of mine won. He does well. He's got a beautiful family. He's a great guy, but he's not like some hedge fund manager that's a member at six different country clubs. Like he's a regular Mississippi dude like you guys. And he won the Masters lottery. It's as accessible, fairly accessible, I should say, as it possibly could be. And then once you get there, the prices and everything, I mean, you're so accommodated once you get there. And that's part of the allure, is that if you win the lottery, you get to go. And when you go, you're taken care of. But when you're there, you are not allowed, as you guys know, to bring your cell phone. And if you get caught with it, you are immediately removed from the grounds. I read a story today about how a lady was sitting in her chair at the first tee and took her sandals off so she could rub her feet on the grass. Guy comes over and tells her to put her shoes back on. You will not take your shoes off here at Augusta National. You won't do it. And that kind of stuff, how they protect the field, right? It's the smallest of the majors, and the qualifications are very simple and laid out clearly, but also it's just so hard to get in, and it's very protected. It's very traditional. When you're there, you feel like you're not on this planet, and it is so perfect and so pretentious. And to have, and I don't mind Jason Kelce, but who asked for that? Oh, look at this bearded football player stacking sandwiches on top of each other and shoving them in his face. Like, who wants that? Nobody asked for that. Nobody asked for Kevin Hart. And why is he allowed to get lessons on the driving range from Bryson DeChambeau? That's supposed to be for the players only. And then the broadcast, the TikTokification of ESPN's coverage of this, and it's just been awful. And then the merchandise is just, it's the TikTok brain. They've ruined a beautiful tradition. And now you're walking around with now driving hats. And even, I mean, Fred Ridley admitted that letting Dude Perfect throw frisbees on the course was a mistake. Well, you've got a few more mistakes to fix. I mean, and I get that, you know, you're trying to bring in new audiences, but golf is as popular now as it's been since the Tiger's prime. The ratings are huge. Participation is way up. Who is this for? You're the Masters. And more importantly, I think to me, the biggest problem is that ESPN has a big hand in this, because they don't have a finger on the pulse of sports fans anymore. They have a finger on the pulse of the internet. But not American sports fans anymore. And you're seeing that with how this goes. So you say, why would you trash a golfer like Bryson, especially for a non-American like that, in favor of someone like Rory, a guy who's completely invented himself and become a better person and golfer? You sound like a boomer. Get your act together. I'm not trashing Bryson. I don't think Kevin Hart should have been getting lessons on the driving range. But also, I mean, I don't particularly like Bryson. I'm not a fan of his. I like that he really cares in the Ryder Cup. I like that. I think his I'm smarter than you act is tiresome, especially when he had the traditional game and can have the traditional game that would work, but instead he insists on having six iron length wedges. And you saw what you see today. Like, I'm smarter than you and I know it, without the results to match. Yes, I know that he won the US Open and all that, but his raw talent is so much better than his results at this point, because I think he's outthinking himself. I'm not a big fan of his, but I'm also not rooting for Rory this week either. So
It's basic, but I'm particularly fond of Scottie Scheffler. He's got a little bit of a hot streak in him too that you see, but the way he talks about life and his marriage and his kids and perspective, I think that he's the kind of that's the kind of stuff that a lot of people should listen to and resonate. I really like him. I like his perspective. He seems like a good dude. I also have a family connection to Justin Thomas. I like him a lot because of that. But Lucas Glover is my favorite player. He's not in the field this week. But yeah, I do sound like a boomer. I do. You're exactly right. Edward asked me to rant about this, so I'm doing it. I sound like a boomer. And I'm fine with that. Because Augusta National, to me, was the best thing that American sports has to offer. And I'm seeing TikTok destroy it. And I don't like that. So there you go. I am a boomer. Sue me. Sue me. I don't care. I want my golf tournament to be pretentious. Sorry. Oh, man. This weekend is going to be a real tone setter going forward for this baseball team. Really needed to win two games, and it's an inconsistent LSU team at home. Yes, this is a must-win series. If you're going to get back in the hosting conversation, yes, you have to win this weekend. Not going to lie, Florida's in a really tough spot on the schedule. I absolutely hate where that trip to Gainesville is on the schedule. That is a classic letdown spot, considering the emotions of the week prior. Although John Summerall, not real thrilled with his team right now. If you go check out some of his latest comments after practice, he doesn't love what he sees there, but might just be motivating. If Levy loses to Minnesota, it's all but over. Yeah, you start the countdown clock at that point. Next most important game is probably Florida, considering the circumstances at the time and the time of the game. Already know what the team is by the time of Oklahoma, Texas, and Georgia. Have Kiffin blocked on Twitter because you know it's constant everyday engagement and trolling. If I'm an LSU fan, I'd have some genuine concerns over how much Lane is hyper-focused on Ole Miss. I would. They won't see it unless he loses to Ole Miss. And then if he does, you think they would look back and say, I should have seen this coming. You know, don't sleep on Mizzou and Auburn. I won't sleep on Mizzou. I think Auburn's going to stink out loud. I think that they are going to be near or at the bottom of the SEC this year. Might be overlooking them, not particularly high on Auburn and Missouri. Playing on the road has been pretty bad under Drinkwitz. Get a bye before playing at Vandy, who will take a step back. State is at home and likely won't be good. Maybe they have an interim coach by that point. I do think Lebby will see the whole season, unless it just completely craters. There's a problem with the nine-game schedule. Ole Miss will likely have two different stretches of pressure cooker big games, first with LSU and Florida, then with Georgia, Oklahoma, and Texas. Absolutely. Have to go 3-2 in those games and sweep the rest. Yeah. 9-3 is definitely not a guarantee. Shark update. I have no idea who Pete was talking about today. No idea. Thing is, with the Egg Bowl, if Ole Miss is rolling and has the stakes on the line, they will win the Egg Bowl. It's become a bad physical matchup on the field for State as well. Yeah. While we're waiting on what should be an exciting football season, Coach Yo has Tennessee and LSU fans calling her the tampering queen. Yo's on fire since the women's portal season started. Yeah, I've seen some of that discourse, and I mean, my God. I cannot fathom having the emotional reaction to players transferring, especially when Kim Mulkey's your coach and Lane Kiffin's your coach and Will Wade's your coach now. And you're crying about tampering? Come on. Can we not do that anymore? Can we not do that? And I've been very consistent on this show, acknowledged its existence, but it is the game. There's no rules. It doesn't matter. So we talked about that during the football portal end and all that drama. Look, it was shady. It was all that stuff. But don't cry about tampering because you are too. And that's this is the same thing here. Give me a break, guys. I mean, are we still crying about tampering, especially considering who's coaching on your campus? Tighten up. tighten up. I've got a toddler with, oh, he's not a toddler anymore. Jeez, he's not a toddler anymore. I've got a kid with better emotional regulation than some of these people. Also with the super chat, really appreciate you, man. Thank you. Thank you so much. Respectfully, in your opinion, if State is in the top three most important games for next year, then that means they didn't have the year that they wanted. If State is more important than LSU, Texas, Georgia, they failed. I hear you. I hear you completely. I do think you can land that knockout blow, though. For sure. Also, the podcast brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day with their outstanding online banking platform, their 16 locations in Mississippi, local loan servicing and decision-making. Bank with me. Switch to Priority One Bank, and you'll find out why they're named what they are. Check them out at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. ABSMS.com is the website. Since 2020, the Egg Bowl's taken a back seat in the grand scheme of Ole Miss football. It's been, for the most part, the LSU game that's dictated the season success the most, with some exceptions. Yeah. Serious question, why does Barstool Sports still have a presence in sports media? They don't have the same viewer base they did even 5 years ago. It's still so massive, though. It's so massive. Just huge audience, huge influence. The Masters are the very last thing American sports is doing right. Literally the only thing. Sports gambling has also played a gargantuan role in all of this, targeted towards young men. Oh my gosh, yeah. And so you've got high school kids that are doing it, which is a big problem. But it's also creating an emotional removal from real stakes and institution and tradition and stuff like that. The stuff that gets yelled at golfers and athletes and the stuff, I mean, I think it was The Athletic that did the report about Penn State players in particular sharing some of the DMs that they get, and it's all gambling focused. It's not just a mad fan. It's gambling focused. People met like, you cost me my parlay. I'm going to kill you. Here's your address. I know where you live. That kind of stuff. I mean, our radio show, we have a casino partner. But here in Mississippi, you don't have the online gambling. And here's another boomer take for you, Rebel Accountant. You think I'm a boomer about the Masters? Here's another one for you. The more this goes on, the more I am okay with the current setup in the state of Mississippi, where you have to go to a physical casino and visit a sports book in order to participate. And I know there's VPNs and people get around it anyway, but the ease of access that people have to player props and things like that, you've already seen NBA players and college basketball players fixing games and stats as a result. It's tough. I mean, there's also a, you know, free choice element to this, that an adult should be allowed to spend their money where they want. But, you know, is this a harm to the greater good? That's why we don't let people drink and drive, because you know, it's a harm to public safety. Are we getting to the point where the ease of access to sports gambling falls into, you know, issues with public safety? Maybe that's a little hyperbolic. Again, that's another boomer take. You guys might just have to disagree with me a lot tonight, but man, if an athlete shoots a 68 instead of a 67, he shouldn't get death threats in his direct messages. That's just not an acceptable thing. And yet here we are, you know. I don't like that. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not smart enough to know, but I know that we've got a problem. What does the future of ESPN look like, in your opinion? They just lost $100 million last year. They're about to have more layoffs. If I'm an SEC school, should I be concerned? The future of ESPN will be airing sports and sports exclusively. That's the future of ESPN. They will eventually get out of the content business, in my opinion. Maybe that's a little extreme, but they dramatically overpay for personalities. And those personalities have less and less influence and reach every year. They are less meaningful, and yet they're making millions of dollars. What is the value in that? There is no value in that, I don't think. And I think eventually they're going to just be a channel that airs games and a web service that really gives you the scores. Was looking at Warren Nolan for baseball stats today, and they have some skewed prediction methods for sure, but they had Ole Miss going 31-25, 11-19 to finish the season, only beating Tennessee 2 of 3. I would take the over on that. I think they pitch it too well for that. Yeah, 13.5 feels like the current predicted win total for this baseball team. I think they pitch it too well for that to happen. You say love you, though, even though I'm a boomer. That's fine. I love you too, man. We can't agree on everything. How boring would that be, you know? That wouldn't be any fun. ESPN is on pace to lose McAfee to Netflix, allegedly. I have not seen that. Is that possible? Huh. They make money on him, even though he's got a ridiculous contract. Metrically, they're fine, but have said recently they have to make some hay these next two series and stay afloat with Georgia looming. 5-7 can't turn into a 7-11. Yeah, I mean, my gosh, and Arkansas still ahead. Alabama still ahead. And yeah, gold, win 4 of the next 6. If you go 4-2 in the next 2 weekends, you're not like great shape. But you can make a push to host a regional, possibly. Florida this year is like Oklahoma last year, but for different reasons. Road game you have to win, for sure. Missouri's a sneaky game this year, the return of Austin Simmons and Caden Lee. I don't know if Missouri... I'm hearing a lot of really good things about the physicality of Ole Miss's defense. I think that, I mean, the word elite's getting thrown around. We'll see. Louisville week 1 will be fun to see the team playing full speed and not against Helen Keller. But yeah, I'm excited about that one. That's a fun way to start the season. It also will kind of break up the desperation to talk about the Kiffin game. That, hey, there's Louisville week 1. So we get to spend the offseason talking about that because I know a ton of you are going to make that trip. And it's a brand name, fun matchup, fun place to be. So there's going to be a lot of excitement around that game. I'm looking forward to that one. The expectation is I will be there. So I'm looking forward to that. Question to county or state is the most important game idea. What years can you think of that state was the most important game and why was that? Ooh. 2022 to just shut everything up and quiet that down. Kiffin really needed to win that one and he didn't. And it ultimately didn't matter. But I think that was a really tumultuous offseason because. God, that was an embarrassment. The Sokolov thing was so bad. All of that, the way he handled that was so bad. Winning that game would have made that offseason easier. But that's a good question, though. Nobody's mentioned the Oklahoma road trip. That's scary. It is. It absolutely is, especially where it is after Georgia. Don't love the spot that it is on the schedule. Shout out Greg Sankey. Everybody's got 9 games, so. I think as of today, Ole Miss would be underdogs in 3 games. Georgia at Oklahoma at Texas and a very short favorite versus LSU. Probably a touchdown at Florida. Tend to agree there. What is Florida's first 3 games? Let's see. Come on, computer. There we go. They are at Auburn, so they have Florida Atlantic and the Campbell Camels going to Gainesville before they go to Auburn and then host Ole Miss. So they have a tough road trip also before that game. So that helps a little bit. You sound like a bitter old man. Yeah, maybe I do. Maybe I do. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with sounding like a bitter old man when it comes to Augusta National and the Masters, because it's one of the few places that is untouched by, or was untouched by, the modernization of everything. And that was the only thing that felt preserved in time. Doesn't feel preserved in time anymore. Feels like it's a TikTok dance now. The broadcast is really good today. They got away from a lot of that, but the lead up has been really bad. And yes, I sound like a bitter old man. Georgia beating Georgia again will make a huge statement, as long as they are the usual Georgia, not falling off. I don't think they're going to fall off. Imagine how big 10 wins would be for Pete's first year. Regardless of anything, just win 10. That's all that matters this year. That would be incredible. Really would. It would be validating in a lot of ways. They'd go back to the playoff. So it'd be validating post-Kiffin validating. It'd be program validating. It would validate Pete Golding. I mean, that would be the word that I would use 100,000 times, because I'm not creative and I'm very repetitive. Thoughts and predictions on the series this weekend? Kind of think Ole Miss squeaks out 2 out of 3, but LSU is LSU. Yeah, if you made me bet right now, I think Ole Miss wins a couple of close ones. And they win the series this weekend. So glad they start the year playing a team with the pulse. Absolutely loathe playing Southeastern and Illinois or whoever in week one. Yeah. And yeah, you're exactly right. Louisville on its own, ABC Sunday night. That is a heck of a time slot. A lot of eyeballs will be on that one. You think Trinidad Chambliss will end his career on the Mount Rushmore of Ole Miss quarterbacks? Is he already on it? Is he already? If he'd have gone to the NFL, would he be on it? I mean, because it's not just, I mean, it's Eli and Archie and, I mean, if you want to go way back, you can go to Connerly. I mean, I don't know. If he has another really, really, really good year, I mean, think about it this way, Austin. What happens if he takes Ole Miss to the playoff again? I know the Manning name is, and there's recency bias in that, but if he takes Ole Miss to the playoff again and has another season like he did last year, does he go up into number one? It's more important in the Freeze and Luke era, more it being Mississippi State, of course, because of how Ole Miss tore itself apart and was in the mud with MSU for quite a few years. It was so bad. Yes, it was. If they beat LSU, do not rush the field. Absolutely not. Nope. That is over. That is over. No. You know, storm the field. And I'm pro storming the field, but especially in that game, I know it's going to be hostile, but treating it just like another win, you play Dancing Queen and just kind of, you know, oh yeah, won, great. Let's go to the Grove. Would be more hurtful than storming the field after that, if that's your goal. Auburn will be awful this year. Man, those fans are going to be so down if yet another coach implodes the program again. I don't think they have the talent. Won't be surprised if LSU dog walks Clemson and gets near a top five ranking. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if anybody beats Clemson at this point. So, don't like a top four in principle, either top three or top five. Yeah, but Benny, you can't call it Mount Rushmore. This game versus Georgia is the best I've seen by an Ole Miss quarterback in my life. Is that too hyperbolic? Corral versus Tennessee is also up there. This beats Corral against Tennessee. Georgia better than Tennessee. Playoff game, Sugar Bowl, trumps that. That was... I mean, what other game would there be that would be comparable to what he did in the Georgia game? And it's not just numbers, right? It's the Manziel-esque backyard football, saving the day type plays as well. I mean, Eli didn't win a game like that. Jackson Dart didn't win a game like that. Matt Corral, you know, you can point to Tennessee, but he didn't win a game like that. Chad Kelly's Sugar Bowl win, not like that. Yeah, Georgia 24 should be the end of it. Yeah, no more field stormings. You think Landon will beat out Sam Leavitt? Not initially. Wouldn't be surprised if Sam Leavitt is not the starter by season's end, though. Imagine if Trinidad never had that fourth quarter against Georgia in the regular season. They'd won the SEC. They'd won the SEC. But also, I mean, you've got Kirby Smart, Craig Byrne going on record saying that the SEC championship's going to go away. So probably does. Trinidad's throw down the sideline in the fourth quarter is the best throw in multiple years. Oh my gosh. With the one to Wallace. But man, how clutch was that throw to Stribling to seal the game? He was just special. Check in. Are you good, man? Yeah, I'm good. I'm doing great. I'm tired. I'm beat, but I'm good. It's Masters week, man. But yes, I am. I am tired. When we're done here, I am going straight to bed. I'm exhausted. But yeah, man, we're doing good. Hope you're doing well. You and the fiance. Thank you, man. But yeah, we're doing good. We're good. Tired, but we're good. Enjoy your baseball this weekend. Weather, amazing. Crowd's going to be incredible. Atmospheres that, you know, very few places in the country produce. And really looking forward to watching it. Good stream. Can't wait to hear more Masters rants. I think I'm done because now that the weekend's here, it's so much more about just the play. And also the leaderboard is incredible for day one. It's just great. So hopefully I'm done. I want Fred. I know how like ear to the ground Augusta is with stuff like this. Ridley going on record about the dude perfect thing is encouraging. You know, they hear all of this. Hopefully they go back to what it was, man. We don't need Jason Kelce eating sandwiches on TV. We don't need the Miz or whatever, the wrestler on the set of the broadcast. We don't need that. Nope. We don't need the goofy hats. None of that. Happy Gilmore in real life. Exactly. I mean, it was just, especially Wednesday's entire production. And I know it's the par three contest, right? It's not a big deal, but that's supposed to be when you get to see the human side of the guys with their kids and wives and girlfriends. That's what that, or their dads or moms. That's what that's supposed to be. The Tommy Fleetwood son hitting the ball over the water, that's adorable. Like, that's the kind of stuff that we tune in to see, not what the sideshow that we got this year. Giving Wyndham Clark a microphone also, I thought that was a mistake. But and no, I don't mind wrestling. Like it's not for me, but I don't hate on wrestling. But we don't need a wrestling Masters crossover. You know what? We don't need that. Those are separate things. Keep them separate. You don't want golf at your wrestling, right? So I don't want wrestling at my golf. Just get back to what you were. Betting lines on the screen. See that kind of stuff. Why? They've got their apps for that. You don't need to lean into that. But ESPN Bet was a complete failure. So, you know, there's that. But not everything needs to be modernized. Some it's okay if some things are stuck in the past, you know? But I'm done. If you're still listening at this point, you're a sicko. Because this is my most obnoxious opinion. And I've got a lot of them. Too many of them. But I appreciate you guys. I really do. All of you. For being here. And I will shut up now and send you guys on your way. Enjoy your weekend. Because it should be a good one. And we'll be back here on Sunday. Possibly talking about another series win. So I'll see you then. Have a good weekend. And just ignore my ranting. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'll see you guys on Sunday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.